things a day.
And the idea is to be grateful, to learn gratitude, and to appreciate what we have. That's really the idea, is to appreciate what a person has. If we're walking and we're talking and we're healthy, we got to really appreciate what we have. We have food on the table, we appreciate. A person has a roof over their head, we have to appreciate. It's so there's 100 blessings a day. King David made this halakha, saying 100 blessings a day. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shulchan Aruch, he lists the blessings we make during the day. He says on average, if you pray 3 times a day, you say 108 blessings a day. And he does the exact amount of blessings a day. It's 108 blessings a day. If you pray 3 times a day, and you go to the bathroom, and you say Birkat HaMazon, it works out 108 blessings. So you can imagine, 100 times a day, a person is saying thank you to Hashem. That's a beautiful thing. Imagine, a person goes to Shamayim, and say, listen, you say 100 blessings a day, it's, how much is that? 36,500 a year. 36,500 blessings a year. You multiply that by a person's life, you'll see all the angels waiting for you. It's amazing. Think about it. The person says, Amen. If you can say, the person's going to try and say, if you come to shul 3 times a day, it's 90 amens a day. 90 amens a day, you see all the angels waiting for you. It's amazing. We're blessed. We're really blessed. We have all these opportunities. And that's why it's good to be a Jew, because we have opportunities for growth. Every day, every bracha is an opportunity for growth. Every day is a bracha. That's the biggest bracha. The bracha is that we have an opportunity to grow. That's the bracha. Yes. Yes.
Is that significant?
Of course it's significant. Everything's significant. Everything is significant. So every day, 100 times a day, we have to appreciate our good fortune. And we have to say, Hashem, you're showering me with abundant prosperity. Thank you. So every day we get these countless blessings, and we have to thank Hashem every day. So every day a person's got to thank Hashem. Because the truth is, we have to think we're not deserving of these blessings. Hashem is giving us, even though we're not deserving. We get blessings from Hashem, even though we're not deserving sometimes. And no person should think they're deserving. That's a general rule. That's the Pirkei Avot says. If you learnt a lot of Torah, don't say it was me. The kach notzarta. That's why you were created. A person does mitzvah, it's not because I'm doing God a favor. No, that's why I was created. That's my job. That's my mission in the world. It's not, I'm not doing something special. I'm doing something which is our mission. That's it. We all have a mission. My son-in-law gave a beautiful story yesterday. He said a beautiful story from one of the great Ashkenazi rabbis in Lithuania. He was a student of the Chafetz Chaim. He was the Rosh Yeshiva Baranovich. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Escapes me. Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, he was the Rosh Yeshiva Baranovich. And he was here in America before the war, collecting money for his yeshiva. And they persuaded to try to tell him, don't go back, Rabbi, don't go back. But he went back. And Hashem Yikom Damo, Hashem should take vengeance for him. On his murderers, the murderers. Anyway, when he was here, he was collecting money, so they told him, he's very hard, he's knocking on every door, he has a gadolah door, knocking on the doors, looking around Manhattan, going around. So they told him, he's a very rich guy, but he's a very big miser. But you may know him because he's from Baranovich. He says, sure, okay, I'll go, I'll call him, what difference? So he goes all the way to this rich guy, and the rich guy had made his fortune in the shmata business. You know, the guy's a shmata business. He's a tailor. He became master tailor, and then he owned a factory. So he sees Rav Elchanan Wasserman. He says, wow, I remember you from Cheder. We grew up together. Oh, I said, yeah, I remember you as well. What are you doing now? So they get into a conversation, and then he asks Rav Elchanan, he says, what can I do for you? Rav Elchanan says, the button on my jacket is loose. Can you stitch it for me? He says, what? Says, that's what you came for? So yeah, I came for you to stitch my button for me. He says, you mean you came from Baranovich all the way to New York to meet me to stitch a button? He says, yeah. Okay. So sure enough, Taylor said, calls one of his workers, says, stitch up this button. He stitched up the button. And then that's it. The rabbi is leaving. He runs after the rabbi and says, Rabbi, please tell me what you came for. I came for the button. Okay. So the next day, the rabbi is home, and he gets a phone call from this guy. He says, Rabbi, he says, I couldn't sleep all night. I was tossing and turning. I said, this rabbi came all the way from Baranovich to me to stitch a button. It can't be. It's impossible. So please come back and tell me what you really wanted. So Rabbi goes back to him. So tell me, he says, what do you want? What do you really want? He says, I came for you to stitch my button. And that was the whole conversation for half an hour. He's pestering him. Tell me, really? How? So the guy doesn't really. He said, I'll give you any money you want. Just tell me why you came. That's getting closer. Now we're getting closer. The rabbi wouldn't tell him. He's walking towards the elevator to go down. And he's running after, please, rabbi, please, don't leave me. Just tell me why you came. Really tell me why you came. He said, I want to tell you something. Our souls have a tremendous journey. They come on a journey from the worlds above. Our souls come on a tremendous journey from the worlds above. The rabbis say it takes seven, we're coming from the seven worlds above. When a person says Shema, we say Echad. Aleph is one God. Chet means God is the king over eight dimensions. The seven above dimensions in this world. Eight dimensions. Our soul comes from seven dimensions above to our world. Every dimension takes 500 years for the soul to come down. Obviously, there's no time over there, but our time, it takes 500 years for our souls to make this descent. Tremendous journey. What for? So he tells the guy, Timothy, he says, your soul came down just to stitch buttons? Is that your purpose in life? Is that your mission in life? Is that why your soul came to this world, for you to be a tailor? Wake up! The guy started crying. He says, wow, rabbi, that's what I came for. I forgot what my soul came for. We forget what our souls come for. We forget what our mission is sometimes. So, obviously he gave him a lot of money and he sent him off, but the man became Balta, big Balta Shiva. You remember now, person's got to remember, our souls come on a very big journey. We didn't come here just to sell buttons. We came here with a mission. We all have a mission. So, thing is, we have to find what our mission is.
So, I was in Baranovich and I was by the house where Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman lived. And they said to us on the tour that he slept in his suit every night so that
Mashiach would come.
No,
ready,
that
no.
If God forbid he was taken out, people should be like in his
Bedan. Wow. Yeah, he died. He was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Tragic. But the trick is to live for Hashem, not to die for Hashem. To live for Hashem every second day, person day, living for Hashem is much a greater mitzvah. Yeah.
His son,
yeah, Rasimcha. Yeah. He built a yeshiva in L.A.
He was with us in Michigan for a while.
And then he went to Israel, he built a yeshiva there. Or Elchanan. The very big yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Or Elchanan. Unfortunately, he never had any children. Unfortunately, Rasimcha. He said his students are his children. So he was also his gadol. See, I wish he could just survive him. He was a really great man. Wow. He wrote a book about Ikvata de Beshicha. He wrote a book about the Mashiach, Rabbi Chan Wasserman.
Simcha.
No, Rabbi Chan wrote the book. Rabbi Chan Wasserman wrote the book about the Mashiach, Ikvata de Beshicha. Yeah. Okay. So 100 blessings a day. We have to appreciate this. This may be our mission in the world. It's to bless God. Our mission in the world. Hashem puts it down here. One of the reasons why God created this world is for us to recognize Him as King. In other words, a king without a kingdom, there's no one to recognize God as the King. So we have to recognize God as the King. So 100 times a day, we appreciate our good fortune. We thank God. We work on our ability to thank and to appreciate. And we have to open our eyes and our heart and our brains to recognize the wonders around us. That's very hard. Because we're like, today in America, we're like robots. We're running. People don't have time to think. Guy came today this morning. He says, Rabbi, sorry, I got to run. Okay, run. Where are you going to run to? It's a rat race. Everyone's running. Who are you running to? So we say, it's interesting, there's a bracha to say when a person leaves a learning. Every time you leave here, you have to say this bracha. There's a bracha, the Gemara says, when you leave a house of learning, you went to a shiur, you have to say this. Mode ani lefanecha. Thank you, Hashem. Melech chai v'kiyam. Shesamta halki miyoshvei bet ha-midrash. You put my portion amongst those in the bet ha-midrash. V'lo samta halki miyoshvei kranot. You didn't put my portion in those who sit by the corners. And you know, when I go home from here in the nights, I pass Pino's, and I know they have now, they have a bar. I know they have the bar, and people are sitting outside and chatting and drinking. And as we say, we thank God. He said, "Put my portion in the bed of midrash, and not on those who sit by the street corners." Ani mashkim, he mashkim. I get up and they get up. אני משקיעים לדברי תורה. I get up for דברי תורה. והם משקיעים לדברים בטלים. And they're getting up for nothing, vanity. אנו רצים והם רצים. We're running and they're running. We're running to עולם הבא. I'm not saying where they're going to run, but that's something else. But that's the bracha. It's interesting bracha to say. Person's going to appreciate that we have a future. We have a way to run. We're also running. We're also working hard. Yes. So thank God. Basically, we're thanking God that we, Hashem, put our portion right here in the ones who sit and learn Torah. And didn't put a portion in the ones who are running in vanity. We are waking up and they are waking up. We are waking up for Divrei Torah and they are waking up for vanity. We are running and they are running. We are running to Olam Haba and they are running in the opposite direction. That's basically the thank you we say. There's a thank you we say for our portion. And in the Ubal Tzion at the end we say, Baruch Elokeinu Shebaneinu Kvodo, thank God for creating me for your honor. And you separated us from the people making mistakes. It's part of the Havdalah, right? Every Friday night, every Saturday night, we say the Havdalah. Baruch HaMavdiyo V'Kodesh Lecho, Ben Ola Choshech, Ben Yisrael Le'amim. Thank God for separating between us and the nations. Why? Not because we're special, they're not. It's because we have a mission. Thank God we have a mission. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen. It's a verse in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, blessed is God from this world to the next world. As God is in this world, God is there. It's very comforting. There's one constant in our lives. Whether you're alive or dead, there's one constant, there's a God. God is here in this world, and God is in the next world. Wherever we are, Hashem is with us. So that's the advantage of being Hashem. Hashem is everywhere, in every dimension. So wherever you are, any dimension you end up, Hashem is always there. So the person says, you know, I recognize you here, I recognize you there, there's no difference. We recognize Hashem everywhere. Okay, so historically we said that in time of David HaMelech, the Jews were confronted with a plague and people were dying. Every day it says 100 Jews died. The rabbis with Ruach HaKodesh realized the plague was a message from Hashem, and that's when the Beit Din made this halakha of saying 100 blessings a day. As soon as they said 100 blessings a day, the plague stopped. It's a miracle. That's the original source of 100 blessings today.
When was that? What time frame in the world?
That was in the time of King David, and the King David was about 2,500 years ago. More. 3,000 years ago. It's good to know the time frame, because Jewish history goes back 3,300 odd years. But it's very easy to remember if you go back to the Jewish calendar. Because Avraham Avinu was born in 1948.
So was I.
In the Jewish calendar. Okay. But Avraham Avinu was born in the Jewish calendar 1948, which is easy to remember, State of Israel, 1948. But in the Jewish calendar, 1948, Avraham Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu was born 100 years later. Very simple, because Avraham was 100 years old. So 2048 was Yitzhak. The Jews came out of Egypt 400 years later. 2448, the Jews come out of Egypt. 40 years later, they go into Israel. So 2488. Everyone's writing this down?
Yes.
Okay. It's very easy to remember.
That was cute.
The first Commonwealth lasts 850 years. So 3288, something like that. The first Commonwealth. And then they were in exile 70 years. That's when Purim happened. And they come back for another 480 years. And before you know it, it's 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago, that's where the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. 70 CE, we lost our temple. 70 CE, we are living in exile.
First or second?
Second. 70 CE was a Roman conquest and destruction of the second temple. And 500 years before that was the destruction of the first temple. So 2,500 years ago was the first temple, second temple. We've been living in exile for nearly 2,000 years. It's amazing. We're still around. It's a miracle. There's no other nation in the world that's been in exile and survived. No, never happened before. Not only did they survive, they flourished. Not only did they flourish, but they rebirthed. They rebuilt the temple. They came back to Israel. It's amazing. Bring back our language. Our language survived. Our country survived. Made it. Miracle. We lost a lot of people on the way. there should be 1.3 billion Jews in the world today. They're as old as the Chinese. 1.3 billion Chinese. That was yesterday. I don't know how many there are today. But there should be 1.3 billion Jews in the world. So we lost so many people through the persecutions and exiles. We don't realize that the Romans killed one third of the Jewish population of the world. More than the Nazis. They killed more percentage-wise than the Nazis. Yamach Shemam, the Romans.
They didn't survive.
Who? Yeah, the people, they didn't survive. The Italians, you have the Italians, their descendants, the Italians. But we know the Romans themselves. Rome was conquered by the pagans, by the Visigoths, the Vandals. Okay, so let's focus on saying these brachot with simcha. That's the key. Simcha is the key. Ivdu ad Hashem, b'simcha. Who is the happiest man that ever lived? I'll give you a clue. His name means laughter. Yitzhak! Yitzhak was the happiest man. I wish we could see Yitzhak. It doesn't come across at all. He comes across a very serious guy. But
he was?
No, he was very happy. He was the happiest person in the world. And he was happy when his father was slaughtering him. Can you imagine being happy when he's serving Hashem with happiness, with joy? Yitzhak symbolizes Avodah. Avraham Avinu symbolizes Chesed. Yitzhak symbolizes Gvura or Avodah, service of Hashem. Yitzhak. And Yaakov Avinu symbolizes Torah. So Yitzhak was the one who served God with Simcha. In fact, it says Avimelech looked out of his house and he saw Yitzhak laughing with his wife. Yeah, so you see, Yitzhak was Mitzachek. The only time he used that word is with Yitzhak. Mitzachek Ibishto. Yes, sorry.
I'm just wondering if you consider happiness wholeness versus happiness.
Say again?
It's to be
moved
and not happiness.
No, Yaakov was Tam. Yaakov Ishtam.
Right, so
Yitzhak was Ish Tzchok. He was a man of laughter, which means joy. True joy.
His life wasn't so
good. Why not? Sure it was. Yitzhak, he was the only one who... Only one of the Avod never left Israel.
Yaakov had to leave him.
Yaakov was a guy to run around. Yaakov's life was tough, he said. But Yitzhak was easy. Yitzhak stayed in the same place. He dug the same wells. He did whatever his father did. He was content. He had only one wife. And he had two sons, and he was happy right to the end, except when his son Esau went bad, that was trouble. But Yitzhak says Yitzhak had prophecy till the end, which means you can't have prophecy without being happy. It's amazing. Yitzhak saw what happened to Yosef. He knew Yosef was alive. How could he see? And the answer is he didn't lose his prophecy. Yaakov Avinu, who was depressed, couldn't see. It's ironic. If he wasn't depressed, he'd see that his son is alive. He got depressed because his son was gone, but his son wasn't really gone. It's tragic to lose one's happiness. We get depressed and we can't see the salvation is right there. It says by Hagar. Hagar was crying. There's no water. Her son's dying of thirst. It says the angel appears to Hagar. He says, Malach Hagar, what's wrong with you, Hagar? Open your eyes and see. There's a well right here. So he didn't really create a well. He just opened her eyes. It was, she gave up hope. When you give up hope, you can't see the salvation. But she never gave up hope. Sometimes the salvation is right there and we can't see it. That's the trouble. Because you never give up hope. It's amazing. Amazing. I know a case of a person who was in trouble with the IRS. This is a true story. Trouble with the IRS. What does he do? He goes to a lawyer. He had a choice of lawyers. He went to a Jewish lawyer. And a Jewish lawyer says, okay, you're going to do this and do this. Gives him a bill, $650,000. Pay all these fines and you'll be fine. No problem. Just pay the fines and be all right. So, okay, Jewish lawyer, trusted him, until he says, why not get a second opinion before I do anything, you know? It's a lot of money. So he goes to a non-Jewish lawyer. And Jewish lawyer says, statute of limitations. All this is 6 years, statute of limitations. Goodbye, nothing. What are you talking about? Imagine. If the guy would just said, you know, I'm depressed, I have to get paid all this money, I can't see the salvation, just go get a second opinion. That's the famous story about the three people who were sick, right? So one Scotsman, the Frenchman, the Jew, right? The Scotsman goes and he takes out his bank account and starts spending. The Frenchman goes, I can't tell you what he did. And the Jew, he says, I'll get a second opinion. Mm-hmm. You have to get a second opinion sometimes. The refuah is there, the yeshua is there. Hashem says, I created many things and I created many yeshuot. You just got to find the right yeshua. You got to find the right salvation for everything. Everything has a salvation. Sometimes you got to cross the sea to get salvation. Sometimes you get the man from the heaven. Salvation and different things. So the main thing when saying a bracha is to be happy. Yes. Yes. As we said, David HaMelech's Beit Din. David HaMelech, in the time of David HaMelech, Chazal, which Chazal? The Beit Din of Rabbi of David HaMelech.
Is it an obligation?
Yes, obligation. Every single Jew has to say 100 blessings a day.
Now?
Mm-hmm. Shulchan Aruch. I'll tell you where exactly. Shulchan Aruch, this is Mishnah Berurah 46:14. Orach Chaim, 46:14. The Mishnah Berurah brings down the list how to get to 100 blessings a day. It's harder for women because they don't say Shemona Esrei three times.
So are we supposed to be counting our brachot every day?
If you can, you get blessings. The more you count, the better you feel. Halavai. Yeah. I have a guy who has a clicker. He's one of these things. He clicks every time he says a bracha, clicks. Oh.
He does?
Don't worry, it's happening automatically. Hashem is clicking for you. But if you want to be exact. So I'll tell you the list. Okay, here we are. Hamapil, before you go to sleep, you say a bracha. That's one. I'm on page 13. In the morning there's 18 blessings. For the Torah, there's 3 blessings. Tzitzit and tefillin, which women don't have. Okay, the prayers during the different prayers. So there's 10 brachot altogether. The Shmona Esrei is 3 times 19, 57. 2 meals with Birkat Hamazon is 12 brachot. Total 104 brachot. And then you have all the other brachot: snacks, fruits. It says and going to the bathroom. There's so many brachot. You pray 3 times a day. If you don't pray 3 times a day, you've got to make it up with going to the bathroom a few times more. Drinking a little bit more, snacking a little bit more. Okay, what can I tell you? Okay. That's why on Shabbat it's a rough, because we have only 7 blessings in the Shemona Esrei instead of 19. So we say 4 to Shemona Esrei, it's only 28. We're short of brachot, we have to make more brachot. That's why on Shabbat they tell you make more extra brachot, because we're short of brachot on Shabbat.
So when we say Amen to someone's brachot, yes,
but the evidence counts.
Does?
It does on Shabbat. Like, we have no choice because you can't eat so much. How much can you eat? So ideally, you should say the bracha. If you can't say the bracha, say amen. It's like saying a bracha. So we have to be happy. That's the main thing. If the person says a bracha, they should say it with joy and appreciate what we have.
Do the blessings, when you say that, do those amens count too?
No, because that's not a bracha. Kaddish is not a bracha. It's a sanctification of God, but it's not a bracha. So bracha, you say, amen, so bracha, it's like you said the bracha.
Right, so if somebody gives someone else a bracha, and you say amen, that does not count.
What do you mean, someone else?
Like, I wish you health and happiness.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't count. It's not a real bracha.
It doesn't count,
right? It's a psukim. It's like the Birkat Kohanim. So the Kohen says the bracha, and then he said Birkat Kohanim. So he said the bracha, he said amen. That's a bracha. But the Birkat Kohanim is not really a bracha in the classic sense of a bracha. It's a blessing, but it's not a bracha. There's a difference between a blessing and a bracha. So I say you should be healthy and live a long life and have many children and grandchildren. That's a bracha. But it's not a classic bracha. It's not Baruch Atah Hashem. It's a blessing, but not a bracha. Okay. So we have to acknowledge and focus on our many blessings. Ability to breathe, to sing, to walk, to eat, to think, etc., etc. And this will inspire us to be content and happy. Why pay a psychiatrist $200 an hour to treat depression when we have Hashem's antidote to depression is right here in the brachot? Every time a person says a bracha, thank God, Baruch Hashem. A person's going to say it with happiness. It's 100 fabulous blessings a day. And the more you bless God, that result says, you trigger God's blessing. That's the key. The key is you want to trigger God's blessing. How do you trigger God's blessing? Every time you bless others, you bless yourself. That's the bracha Hashem gave to Abraham Avinu. Varchecha Baruch. Orecha Arur, Varchecha Baruch. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed. So you bless Hashem. How much more Hashem's going to bless you? It triggers God's blessing. The Kuzari. Who is the Kuzari? Who wrote the Kuzari? Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Rabbi Yehuda Levi is a very famous Spanish philosopher, rabbi, poet, doctor, whatever. He wrote a book called the Kuzari about the Khazars. You heard of the Khazars? The Khazars was a group of people in Russia, Kazakhstan, who converted en masse to Judaism. Imagine, in 800, uh, 800 CE. 800 CE, the king was looking for, he was a pagan. He was looking for religion. So he had three choices. So he brings a priest, he brings an imam, and he brings a rabbi. Tell me about your religion, so I want to know, I'm interested. I'm looking for a new religion. So this book is written as a novel. It's not true. It's written like his conversations with the rabbi who's converting him. And in the end, they converted to Islam, to Judaism. And then what happened? The Mongols came. That was the end of them. The Mongols took him over and they converted back to Islam. Mongols. They came from Mongolia and they conquered the world. Nearly they conquered the whole world, including Europe. The French beat them in a battle in Europe. Imagine if you Mongols, we'd all be looking like Chinese. If the Mongols had won, we'd have... They're from China, from Mongolia. They conquered China first. The Mongolians conquered China. Today, Mongolia is a province of China. But in those days, the Mongolians conquered the Chinese. They conquered Russia. They conquered Asia. They conquered the Arab countries. Amazing. And eventually, the Muslims called them, made them convert to Islam. It's amazing how they converted to Islam. Mongolians converted to Islam. Okay. So, the Kazakhstan. So, the book, Khuzari, is written as a novel, a historical novel, where he's having this conversation between the rabbi and this king of Khazars who's converting the people to Judaism. And over there, it's a philosophical work. He explains how saying brachot properly can develop into a lifetime career of singing to Hashem. Because saying a bracha, you're singing a song. It's like a song to Hashem and pleasure. One's pleasure is enhanced by the obligation to say a blessing for everything one enjoys. Because when you say a bracha, you're really enjoying something. You're so happy you're saying a bracha, so that should increase one's enjoyment. Shouldn't one gain more pleasure than animals do from what one partakes? One has the option to feel conscious enjoyment. So bracha enables us to make a conscious effort to feel pleasure. There's so many pleasures in life people don't appreciate. They're eating, drinking, but there's no bracha, so there's no conscious enjoyment. A bracha enables us to be conscious of the enjoyment. The capacity to appreciate and enjoy. By preparing for our enjoyment with thought and a heartfelt bracha, one increases one's enjoyment. The more attention and devotion, the more pleasure and gratitude towards the giver, which is Hashem. That's a very important idea, the idea of appreciating life and enjoying life. And if you say a bracha, thank God for the fruit. You say, can you imagine, say a bracha on the fruit, enjoying the life. And we're going to say the bracha on the fruit tree. We're going one stage ahead. Most people just say a bracha on the fruit because they want to eat the fruit. We're saying a bracha on the fruit tree. Thank God for creating things in this world that give people pleasure. Imagine how would life feel without fruits in the world. Imagine how dull life would be without fruits. Pretty sure we have to appreciate fruits. Okay. So now we're moving on to page 17. And there's certain blessings we thank God for bodily functions. And sometimes we don't appreciate the bodily functions until they stop working. And a person should never get to that stage. If you appreciate God for when it works, hopefully it will keep on working. You know, I was a kid, I was playing basketball. I was 15 years old, I'll tell you. And I had one of my best games ever. Best game. I thought I was flying. It was fantastic. I was feeling great. And I trip and I fall. Crashed. I really literally crashed. I was running very fast and I crashed. Couldn't move. Took me to hospital. X-rays, the works. Nothing wrong. Go home. Decided to go home. Went home. Couldn't move. I was in bed. So finally I had to go to the hospital for emergency operation. My spleen ruptured. So I could have died over there. I was in bed for 2 days and it was leaking for two. I couldn't move. So I was 15 years old, but then I said, boy, Asher Yatzar became like a priority for me. Because you shouldn't have to learn the hard way. I'm telling you, but you should do it. Yes, we do it. But let's do it with gusto. Let's do it. Really appreciate the body works. The mechanisms work. There's so many different mechanisms in the body. It's amazing. It's amazing machinery. Amazing machinery. And obviously it wears out. Machinery, it wears out. But the body has the ability to regenerate, which nothing, no machinery does. You cut yourself. What happens? A few days later, you don't notice. It's regenerated. It's amazing. The body has the ability to regenerate. So the Asher Yatzar blessing is such a critical blessing. We thank God for our physical system. For this method of imagining the body's failure to function, as we say in the bracha, If one little hole would open or close in the wrong time, if Charlotte came after, we wouldn't live even 1 second. Imagine, heart attacks. Boom, the guy dies. That's it. The valves don't open, they don't close at the right time. The guy's dead. We don't really realize till it happens. The boom. We are just so pathetic. Really, honestly. Human beings. You're so great, right? Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. Look at him now. We're all great, yeah? Until it happens. We feel we're invincible, and the body is just one small thing. Children die in their sleep. It's amazing how. Just one small thing. I'll tell you, one of the saddest days of my life was I had to do a funeral. And I started a school in Teaneck, and there's a woman who opened her house for us to have shirim. So I gave shirim in this house, and she had 3-4 children. She's like one of the happiest. She was happily married. She was always happy. This woman was always happy. She was cheerful and happy and so thankful for her life. And she got pregnant. She was so happy. I remember teaching her that week, and then she passed away. She had some kind of heart. So at the funeral, her father spoke. Her father said, we thought she was going to die as a child. She had a heart problem as a child. And God gave her 37 years more. And we're thankful for those 37 years. So we have to be thankful for whatever days we have. We don't know. No one knows what their time is. I used to have Dr. Abudi over here. He said everyone is born with an expiration date. That's one way of looking at it. We just don't know what the expiration date is. Well, everyone has an expiration date. That's one guarantee in life. Death and taxes. Two guarantees in life, death and taxes. So guarantee is everyone has an expiration date. Oh, we can extend it. We're learning Gemara on Tuesday night in Brachot. Gemara says, when Rabbi Yochanan heard that there were old Jews in Babylon, he didn't believe it. I can't believe there's old Jews in the world outside Israel. It's impossible. Why? Because we say in the Shema, Leman yirbu yemechem v'me benechem al hadama asher nishba Hashem. On the ground, God will increase your years on the land which He promised you. So how can God increase the years of the people outside Israel? So he said, possible, let me do some research. He said, because they go to shul and they spend their time in the shul. That's why God increases their life. Because there's a mechanism by which Hashem can increase a person's life. How? The more time you spend here, the less time is added up to one's person's life. It's not counted in a person's days. A person's meant to live 80 years. They spend 10 years in shul. Get an extra 10 years bonus. It's amazing. That's the idea. The idea is the time you spend here is not counted in your total life. An extra addition. It's amazing, isn't it? It's an incentive.
We should give a couple more classes a week.
There you go. I do, but only one. Where is she? I have some of my women are the favorite. They come every class. So it's adding to their years. They're getting extra. It's amazing. It's great. Yeah, it's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Because they learn that have
in Bnei Brak, of all places. Now, the oldest man in the world is a Holocaust survivor. It's amazing. It's a miracle. In Israel. Can you imagine? The oldest man in the world lives in Israel, of all places. And it's amazing because the men in Israel have one of the longer life expectancies with all the wars in it. It's a miracle. And they smoke as well.
Because there's meat.
There's meat. Purpose and there's chevra. Chevra is very important. Chevra is very important. In America, there's a lot of lonely people. In Israel, chevra, the whole apartment building, they know each other. You know. 114. He's 140, so we have time. So no rush. Admei Ve'eshrim. What do you tell a person who's 120 years old?
Have a nice day.
Yeah. Not a good idea. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. No, I wouldn't say that to him. But I said the joke. Yeah, I said the joke. But it's well, guys, 120. I wouldn't say have a nice day.
What would you say?
Admea ve arba'im. Why not? Yeah, have a longer life. Yeah, but he's already 120. Okay. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to die. He's 120. So what? Life is here. I have a purpose, mission. Every day counts. Every day is a mission. Every day is special. It's never long enough. Why is it never long enough? Because I want to enjoy myself. It's because I have a mission. I want to do more mitzvot. This is the place to do mitzvot. You can't do mitzvot in the next world. You can't grow in the next world. We can grow over here, we can't grow over there. So we have to be grateful for our bodies, because our body is a tool. And our mission is to have, Rambam says, a healthy mind and a healthy body. Healthy soul and a healthy body. We have to work on both. You cannot have a healthy soul without a healthy body. Why? Because the body of a person is sick, they can't do mitzvah. Very simple. So we need a healthy body and we need a healthy soul. So we have to eat to live. And so we live longer, we can do more mitzvot. That's the goal. The goal is the mitzvot. The priority is the mitzvot. So Asher Yatzai is an amazing bracha. And we thank Hashem. And we also have to acknowledge the alternative. The alternative is, if there's failure of the body, that's it. It's finished. So when we think of the failure, we appreciate more that it works. We thank Hashem for our eyesight. You know, we don't really realize. We don't really realize what it's like to be blind. Can't even imagine. It's so hard. Can't see where you're going. If you can't see where you're going, it's like, it says, two people are like dead people. This is a person who can't see is like a dead person, especially in those days, because no one would look after them. Yeah. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Well, you don't realize there are three types of blind people. Number one is a real blind person. So you see a blind person walking down the street, you can't trip him up. Imagine those days, they were fair game. People would just trip them up and beat them and rob them. Pagan societies, the power of might. That's it. Hitler, Yamakshima, that's his society, his ideal society. You afflict the weak, you don't help the weak. Number two is a person who doesn't know anything about mitzvot. He's like a blind person. Doesn't know what's going on. Don't trip him up. Someone comes to your house, says, is it kosher? Say, yeah. But it's not. So he doesn't know, he's blind. In that sense, he's blind, doesn't know. And you trip him up. And number three is giving a person bad advice. The guy says, shall I buy this house? Oh, of course, it's the best house you can ever get. And really, it's full of rot, dry rot, and wet rot, all these kinds of things falling apart. So that's also tripping up someone who's blind. So thank Hashem for our eyesight. Baruch atah Hashem, pokeach ivrim, we say every morning. Opens our eyes, gives us eyesight. So we have to reflect on our good fortune, having the gift of sight, and a debt of gratitude to Hashem for the sight. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. Similarly, we see someone who's handicapped in a wheelchair, you have to thank Hashem for we're mobile. Thank God. He gives us the opportunity to walk. With Sadeh Gaver. He gives us the ability to have steps. We can step. So all these brachot, we have to realize, are reminding us of alternatives. We could be somewhere else, and God gave us this. Baruch Hashem. The person has to feel gratitude. The key is gratitude. In God's world, there is no such thing as an accident. If someone encounters someone who's less fortunate, he's giving us an opportunity to say thank you. Every time you see someone who's less fortunate, someone needs something, comes to you, I need this. Baruch Hashem, I can have it. Baruch Hashem, I don't need it. So it's an opportunity to appreciate what we have and thank Hashem for it. If you see other people's misfortunes, be grateful you don't have it. So, we have to really thank Hashem. Many times. Okay. We're moving on to page 20. Now we come to requests. Requests. And most people think of blessings, they think of requests. When we think of prayer, we always think of bakashot. Please, I need this. Now it's interesting, because Hashem is really all-powerful, and Hashem wants to hear from us. And we have tons of things to ask for. So we have to realize that a fundamental part of the prayers are the Shemona Esrei, and the 13 middle parts of the blessings of the Shemona Esrei are all what's called bakashot. From the word bavakasha, please. They're all pleases. Please give me this. Please give me this. Please give me the 13 prayers. So the Gemara says, and this is brought down the Shulchan Aruch, during tefillah, a person should look downwards. Why look downwards? So you don't get looking around you, you get sidetracked. A person should look downwards. Hopefully in the siddur, the person has the siddur, looking downwards in the siddur. If you know it all by heart, you can just close your eyes and pray. But their heart should be upwards. A person's heart should be towards Hashem. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains, the heart upwards refers to the objective, imagining that one is standing in heaven. Imagine a person going to think when they pray, they're standing in heaven. How do you think you're standing in heaven? I have no idea what heaven is. In other words, a person going to say, I'm meditating before Hashem. Removing feelings of any physical pleasure. hardest thing to do is when you have an itch not to scratch in the middle of Shmona Esrei. It's so hard, boy. How do you forget that itch? You got to meditate to the point where you don't feel the itch. Oh, you feel the itch, you're not meditating. The person's going to remove all physical pleasures from his head, all earthly desires from one's heart, and elevating oneself. How do you do that? In modern terminology, this means when you're preparing to speak to Hashem in prayer, Hashem says, okay, you come to my office. Hashem will speak to you in his office. Where's Hashem's office? In Shemayim. You have to go to Shemayim. How do you go to Shemayim to pray? And the answer is, you think, you remove all worldly thoughts from one's head. It's so hard to do that. It's practically impossible for a human being to remove all worldly thoughts from the head. Who can say, I removed all my worldly thoughts from my head? You're praying for the worldly thoughts. You're praying for the worldly things. Rabbeinu Yonah says, after climbing up to heaven, one should imagine that one is standing in the Beit HaMikdash on this world. Humble oneself, look down. When you humble yourself, you cause one's prayers to be more acceptable to Hashem. So praying involves humility. When the person doesn't have humility, he can't pray. Humility says, Hashem, you're the boss and I'm not the boss, I'm your servant. Please accept my humble prayer. When a person is humble, their prayers are accepted. That's really the key. The key is humility. And that's where we learn this from. Who is the master of prayer? Who is the master of prayer? Who is the first one to pray? The first one. Avraham Avinu, of course. Who else? Avraham Avinu prays for who? Sodom. Hard to imagine. I mean, it's hard. That's Avraham Avinu. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be Avraham Avinu. Who can imagine Avraham Avinu praying for Sodom? Of all the people in the world to pray for, he has to pray for Sodom. I mean, that's hard to imagine. Why? Because Hashem wants to destroy Sodom. But Avraham Avinu is prefacing his prayers. How does he preface his prayers? Anochi afar v'efer. I am dust and ashes. In other words, I know my place in the world. I'm praying, not because I'm your boss, God. Not because I'm telling you what to do, Hashem. I'm praying out of humility. I know my place in the world. I know you're the boss. I'm praying for you, Hashem. I'm praying for your name to be great. I don't want people to say that you did not do justice in this world. That's how he prayed. And that's something which we have to learn when we pray. Before we pray, we have to pray with humility. We don't pray through demanding. There's all sorts of stories. I don't know. I can never understand these stories. Or people demanding God, send Mashiach now. You have to send Mashiach now. And you know what happened to all these people? All gone. There's no such thing. You can't demand from Hashem. You cannot. We pray with humility like Avraham Avinu. And we hope Hashem will listen to the tefillah. And Hashem said, okay, Avraham, I agree with you. If there's 10 righteous people in the midst of the city, I agree. Hashem has lines. Poor. Prayers will be accepted up to a point. You have a fair request? No problem. First, you got to know how to pray. And Chana knew how to pray. What was Chana's prayer? What was a successful prayer? She wasn't praying for herself. She was praying for Hashem. I want to have a child who I'll dedicate to you. It's in your interest, Hashem. How do you make things Hashem's interest? If you can persuade Hashem, it's for Hashem's interest. You're one. If you can tell Hashem, I'm on your side, Hashem. I'm fighting your battle, Hashem. I need help to fight your battle. If that's what you're telling Hashem, Hashem says, okay, I'm on your side. No problem. You got it.
She also bribed him.
What's that?
She also bribed him.
Bribed who?
Hashem.
How do you bribe God?
By saying that if I don't, I'll be Mishasuta, and then you'll have to give me a son.
Yeah, the Gemara knocks that out. We said that. We brought the Gemara, right? You were here?
Yeah.
But the Gemara says, no, it doesn't work, because there's another alternative is that if she has children, she'll have beautiful children.
Right.
She doesn't have to have children. But if she normally has childbirth with pain, she'll have childbirth with no pain. It doesn't always work to have children. It improves the childbirth experience. That's the alternative, is the sotag improves the childbirth experience, but it doesn't always guarantee a child. That's what the Gemara says, one of the alternatives. Anyway, that's a bit presumptuous. That kind of prayer is presumptuous, too presumptuous. Doesn't make a...
So you're saying it's not true?
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying it's a machlok in the Gemara, and I follow the other opinion. Huh? Choni Magil. That's what Rabbi Gamliel said. I'll put him in Cherem. If it wasn't Choni, I'll put him in Cherem. Asur, you can't pray. You're not allowed to pray like that. Just Choni was one of God's favorites in the world. I mean, God has favorites in the world. I mean. I don't know. It's very hard. He could be Hashem's friend. That's Avraham Avinu, is Hashem's friend. But even then, Avraham Avinu prays properly. We learn from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the key. Avraham Avinu is our role model. We have to learn from him how to pray. Hashem, as I'll tell you the truth, we got to pray hard. We have to pray hard. All of us pray hard. And pray often. Pray hard and pray often. There's a rabbi in Israel, his name is Rabbi Toledano, a very famous Sephardic rabbi. And he was an old man already, he was in his 90s. He used to pray like 6 hours a day. I don't know, praying. That's what he prayed for. He never had a house, he rented. Well, he said he never bought a house, he rented a house. He said it's temporary in this world. Why are you praying? I got children, I got grandchildren, great grandchildren, great great grandchildren. I'm praying for all my. Me and my children should all know Hashem's name. That's a prayer for 6 hours a day. The person's got to pray. The more children we have, the more we have to pray. The more grandchildren we have, the more we have to pray. And a person doesn't have any grandchildren, doesn't have any children, should pray for them. More, even more. Hashem Yazor, we need to pray. But we have to know that Yesh Tikva. There's no such thing as no hope for a Jew. A Jew always has hope. That was David HaMelech. I'll just end off with a story. Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Hezekiah Melech, Hezekiah the king, was a big tzaddik, tremendous tzaddik. And the Gemara says that he never got married. He never got married because he saw with Ruach HaKodesh that his sons would be evil. He says, why do I want to bring bad children in the world? I'm not going to get married. He didn't get married. Hashem sends him Yeshayahu Anavi, Isaiah the prophet, go and tell Hezekiah he's going to die. Hezekiah was very sick. Hezekiah, you're going to die. Isaiah the prophet comes to, can you imagine? Look at the scene. The king's in bed. He says, he's sick. The prophet comes to the king and says, can I tell you, I got bad news for you. You're going to die. And the king says, I'm sorry. I don't accept it. So, but Hashem told me, I'm a prophet. I got a tradition from my forefather, David HaMelech. Even if the sword is at your neck, turn to the wall and pray. So he turned to the wall and prayed. And Yeshayahu already was on the way out. And Hashem comes to Yeshayahu and says, go back and tell him he has 7 more years to live. Imagine, he just turned to the wall and prayed 7 more years, boom, just like that. Amazing. Amazing story. And he married Yeshayahu's daughter, and together they had a son who was an evil person. But yet we can't understand. We did the Gemara yesterday about Menashe, and we learned a halakha from Menashe. And then where do you break the bread? When you break bread, where do you break the bread? So what happened was, Rav Ashi is giving a shiur about the three kings. It says, the Gemara says, three kings of Israel never had a portion in the world to come. Menashe, Yeravon ben Nevat, and Ahav. Three kings never had a portion in the world to come. So Rav Ashi is going to give a shiur, and he says, tomorrow we will talk about our friends. That night, Menashe the king came to him in his dream. He says, where are your friends, huh? Let me ask you a question. Where do you break the bread? What is the halakha? Where do you break the bread? I don't know. And he called me a friend, huh? I know more than you, and you call me your friend. Who are you to call me your friend? Okay. Tell me the halakha, and I'll say it in your name tomorrow in the shir. He says, you break the bread from the place which is crusty. You break the bread from the crust. So Sfaradim, we say, the crust is on the top of the bread. Ashkenazim say, we don't know. Is it the top or the bottom? We'll cut it all the way through. Use a knife. And that's where the difference, Minhagim came in cutting bread. But Menashe told him, he said, if you were living in my time, you'd run after Avodah Zarah. We don't know what it's like to have that urge for Avodah Zarah today. We're lucky. But in those days, so we can't judge these people. These people are great. We can't judge them. Anyway, the idea over there is when you pray, a tradition. A Jew never should be without hope. You always have hope to the last minute. As long as there's life, there's hope. We have a God in heaven. We can pray. We thank God for the ability to pray. We can change our mazal, our destiny by prayer. Okay, we'll continue next week. Bli nedar. Thank you for coming.
And Mazel Tov. Thank you. Lots of nachas.
Soon, bye everyone. I wish
Pregnant. And found out I was pregnant twins. And for economic reasons as well as the didn't want twins. I wanted one child. And I told my parents, and my mother said, oh, wonderful, one for you and one for me. I said, repeat that. She did. I said, I'll take you up. And the baby was due the week that the school year ended, and she was a teacher. Unfortunately, she didn't live. She died in a car accident. when he had one child.
But that's the only thing we should think about.
And I remember saying to my husband, Hashem knew we only could handle one child. We named him for her. Anyway, you wanted to tell me.
I want to talk to you about that.
Good morning, Gross. How are you?
A group for children.
How are you?
Group for children.
Yes.
For Shabbat.
Yes.
So I'm paying for it from my charity fund.
I will support.
Thank you.
You really don't want.
But you got to make sure that the kids say that. As a matter of fact, I was going to.
All right, let me.
Did you see yesterday? Was it good?
No.
No?
Because the little ones were coming in. The fathers already brought them in. But what troubled me most was because what
Where
I said, I can see when the door is open.
Can I speak to her?
There were always kids leaning at the top of the thing. I think it would. On the top of the landing upstairs.
Yeah.
I think a gate would be beneficial. Also, these kids don't.
Yeah, I'll tell the people in charge to put them in, bring them in.
Yeah. Is the, what's her name, girl, going to be in charge?
Annalik.
Yeah, Annalik.
Yeah, I'm going to put in charge. I'll tell her to keep the kids in. So I can do.
Well, you should ask,
Hi,
what's her
how
name,
are you?
Rachel, who are in charge.
What's the matter?
I very rarely go to AA for a Shabbos morning service, but have yet to see a child. And they come in.
I said maybe
the end
you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Where is it?
I think there has to be. You have to have a meeting with the parents to explain to them.
So you can't go now.
It's delicate issues. I'm going to try. Once I see the groups are taking off.
What you're just teaching us now, how can you confront?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
Say again?